Welcome into Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Here's Taylor's pitch, and Dozier swings and hits one deep to left field. Back it goes, and gone!
From the belt, delivers, and a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball.
A look back at the 2021 season, a look at the plans this offseason, and a look at the expectations heading into 2022.
Lifted deep to left center field, way back there, and that ball is gone!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Go ahead, Steve Stewart. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in on this Tuesday night. If you're listening live on 610 Sports Radio or the Odyssey app, good evening. If you're listening on the podcast later on in the week, thank you very much for finding my podcast. Yeah, find it on the Odyssey app. Should already have that. But there are a lot of podcasts. Hey. But Vern on Baseball, that's where you find this one. If you're listening live and you missed J.J. Piccolo, or you missed John Sherman or Nicky Lopez or Ryan LaFever, you'll find them all shortly on the Odyssey app. The podcast is Vern on Baseball. As promised, our guest now is Whit Merrifield. And Whit, I can tell you my reaction. I was watching the Gold Glove ceremony with my wife, and I just shook my head vigorously. I mentioned earlier, I thought Nicky should have been a finalist. I was glad that Salvi was a finalist, but I thought the biggest travesty, as far as it's Royals concerning, was Mark. Look, and with all due respect to Marcus Semien and his 45 home runs, I thought you were clearly the best defensive second baseman in the American League. What was your reaction watching the ceremony?
You know, I would have loved to have won. It's probably on an individual level the award that I guess strive for the most. I've always thought it was one of the best awards a player could win. Thought I had a chance. It was bummed when I found out that I wasn't going to win, but you know, at the end of the day, I just didn't make enough plays in the eyes of the coaches and managers around the league. And I'm happy for Marcus; he's a great player, and I'm happy for him. But I would have loved to have won, but it didn't happen. You know, hope next year I can make some more plays and be back in the conversation.
Yeah, Whit, to me, it seems like it's really just the next chapter of your eventual book, just further carving the chip in the shoulder deeper. It just seems as if, I can't speak to your upbringing or your time in college, but as a professional, just nothing comes easy.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has really, in a sense of my athletic career. I've had to earn a lot of things, pretty much everything that I've been able to accomplish. I've really had to earn it. And, you know, I feel like that's how it should be. You should have to earn levels of achievement. And so would I have liked to have been able to do things a little differently or have certain things fall differently than they did? Yeah, I mean, I would have, but at the same time, you know, I'm proud of what I've been able to overcome and what I've been able to achieve, and I'm looking forward to many more years of proving people wrong and doing things that I know I can, and you know, hopefully getting on a part of a winning team and doing some stuff late into the year. That's one thing I really haven't been able to do at the big league level.
Talking with Royals two-time All-Star and the game's Iron Man, Whit Merrifield on 610 Sports Radio. Will you mention it there? Turning 33 this offseason, coming up on your seventh year in the big leagues. Has it gotten, as the years have gone by, has it gotten more difficult to lose? Is the patience running thin?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a good way to put it. It's more the years go by and the more that, you know, we're packing our bags in late September, early October, it's frustrating. And it gets more difficult every year to do it. But this year, I told some people, a lot of times you get to August, you get to September, and when you have years like we've had, it wears on you. And when the end of the season comes, you know, you're you're relieved, you're excited, you know, you're ready to move on and get to the next, you know, just reset in the offseason, get to the next year. And this year was the most unenthusiastic I was, or that I have been, to head into the offseason. I really, really loved our team, really loved our clubhouse. Wasn't ready to leave those guys, and there's also an excitement for, you know, what we have moving forward. That, you know, I wasn't quite ready to leave the locker room yet, but at the same time, I'm fired up for what the future holds for our organization. So yeah, this year was different. It was there was less urgency to get to the offseason, even though we weren't going to be playing in the postseason.
Right.
I want to stay with that because I think anyone that's been around this team over the past few years would certainly describe you as tough, both physically and mentally, obviously with the Iron Man stuff, but also the tenacity that you've shown throughout your professional career. That toughness is the reason why I'm quick to tell people that when you are given the opportunity to showcase your talent in October, I feel like you will thrive because of that toughness. And I'm curious, in your opinion, being around these young pitchers, because you know the kind of toughness that they need to exude for you to feel it in the batter's box. Do you get that sense from these young arms in your clubhouse?
I really do. I really do. I mean, we've got some guys that they're just, you can just tell they're in the right place mentally to have sustained success and to pitch in big moments and big games. There's a point when you're playing, whether it be hitting, pitching, where you rely on your preparation, you rely on your mechanics and what you have to do physically and mechanically, you know, to be successful. And then there comes a point in moments where you just say, screw it, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to do what I can to beat you. And you kind of throw all that stuff out the window and just compete. And we've got a lot of competitors, both offensively and on the pitching side. And I'm excited to see what happens when the lights are the brightest. Because, I mean, if you look at, just as an example, if you look at how we performed this year against the best teams in baseball, I think that kind of shows you the kind of, what kind of players that we have on our team. Obviously, we weren't able to do it for an entire year well enough to finish top of our division and get to the playoffs. But, you know, when we were playing those first-place teams and we knew we needed to rise to the occasion, and I think our record was one of the best in baseball against first-place teams.
Yeah.
How does the Iron Man of baseball tackle the offseason? How much are you leery of changing it when you've had the kind of success that you have?
I'm not going to – I don't change much. You know, and I'm not just saying this as a player, you know, from a business standpoint, but – I feel the same now as I did when I was a freshman in college. My body feels the same. My routine hasn't really changed. The amount of time it takes me to get loose hasn't changed in 15 years or whatever it's been. And so I've had success with what I've been doing. I feel really good about it. And, I don't plan on changing anytime soon.
And when defensive versatility is one of your many strong suits, does the uncertainty of defensive positioning once again heading into 2022, does that allow you to remain in the routine that you have over the past few off seasons?
Yeah. You know, I guess I learned going in or this spring training when I should have already known that I need to stay ready in all aspects. I had spent the winter really focused on being a good outfielder, really focused on doing things that were going to help me play outfield this past year. And then that all sort of, I got a curveball thrown at me sort of towards the end of spring training. And I wasn't as prepared to play second base as I should have been. But that's on me. That's not on anybody else but me, because I know that I've dealt with it my whole career, where when something happens, they turn to me, you know, to adjust, to move around. And for some reason, last offseason, I was convinced that I was going to be playing in the outfield for majority, if not all of the season. That's probably something that I'll I'll never make that mistake again. And yeah. So I'll definitely be more prepared for whatever role is thrown at me this year.
Whit, final thing for you. How optimistic are you that everything's going to be working on time starting in February, that you'll be in Arizona, that the team will start to join you, and everything will be hunky-dory?
Well, I know that as players, you know, we're excited for 2022. We feel like what we're asking is nothing but fair. We feel like it's beneficial for all sides. And so it's really up to the other side to come to an agreement on a fair deal. That's really what it's about. So I don't know what their agenda is. I don't know what their goals are for this new CBA. But, you know, as players, our goals are to have a fair bargaining agreement in place that benefits all clubs and benefits all players. Like, they should be compensated and it should benefit. And we think that we've done a really good job as players of coming up with something that represents all that. And we hope the ownership feels the same as us. But until that piece of paper is signed, you know, there's no telling what will happen.
That is perfectly said. Whit, I greatly appreciate the time this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Right? That's perfect. That's almost like he read it off a script. That is a guy that understands both how to get the job done on the field, but also in the boardroom. Thank you very much to Royals, right fielder? Is that where we're putting him? And you heard him. He's not going to get caught flat-footed again. Yeah, you guys can tell me I'm the right fielder all offseason, all you want. I'll just see how it all shakes out over the course of those 6 weeks in Arizona. That's Whit Merrifield, Royals utility infielder / outfielder. How about that? We'll discuss it further with Dayton Moore after this.
You're listening to Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Right center field, and that ball is gone!
On your home for Royals baseball.
Salvador Perez, a grand slam for a second straight game.
610 Sports Radio.